The story of Thomas is pretty straightforward. Thomas was one of Jesus' disciples, one of that core group of 12 in whom Jesus invested especially. Jesus washed Thomas's feet, and then the next day, Thomas saw Jesus crucified. Maybe Thomas even waited around and saw Jesus' body removed from the cross and buried. Thomas had spent some time with Jesus, so Thomas was shocked and appalled to see the people of Jerusalem, the ones who had welcomed Jesus as king earlier in the week, turn on Jesus and demand his crucifixion. Thomas was confused about why Jesus, who had demonstrated the power to perform all kinds of bona fide miracles, would allow himself to be crucified. Thomas had known Jesus to be a man on a mission. But what was the point of it all if Jesus was now dead? Can you imagine the shock and the surprise experienced by Mary and 10 of the disciples when they encountered their friend Jesus alive once more? Who ever heard of such a thing? It's crazy talk. It's delusional. Thomas has earned the sobriquet Doubting Thomas because he couldn't believe the insane things that his friends were telling him. That they had seen Jesus alive again, but different. I would be doubting too if I was him. Thomas's demand, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe, is often portrayed as proof that Thomas lacked faith. But Thomas was not asking for special treatment. Thomas's friends testified that Jesus was alive because they had seen those very wounds. They testified to Thomas on the basis of their personal encounters with the risen Jesus, and Thomas merely asked for the same. Blind faith is not a particular virtue. You and I know this to be true in every other arena of our lives, and so did Thomas. So why should he, or we, have to believe blindly in one special case? That sounds super fishy to me. Thomas is a patron saint for the 21st century. We have all been taught to be skeptical. Superstition is a derogatory term. Spin and fake news are epithets and represent problems, not virtues. We don't take anything for granted until we receive the offer on paper and we've signed on the dotted line. We read the fine print. And no matter what, we always read the entire software license. The EULA, right? We read the EULA before clicking, I agree. Or maybe I'm confusing skepticism with fatalism. I like Thomas because I can identify with him. Thomas didn't just blithely say, okay, and believe 10 impossible things before breakfast. Perhaps a more accurate, modern translation of the whole unless I see the mark of the nails bit would be, you guys are crazy. Is this some kind of sick joke? For Thomas, beliefs were not something that you choose because you really want X to be true, or it would be really nice if Y was the case. Wishful thinking wouldn't do anyone any good. Thomas wasn't interested in warm feelings. His aim was to encounter reality with integrity. Thomas shows us that the church is not a community that asks you to check your brain at the door. Jesus does not call us to intellectual laziness or sloppy thinking. Blind faith is not a particular virtue. On the contrary, respect for God's handiwork of creation and respect for our own integrity both demand honest, open inquiry and careful reasoning. Although I have to admit that, like the EULA that came with my software, God may be a bit beyond my ability to completely comprehend on an intellectual level. It's a big reality out there, and I don't entirely understand why these glowing orbs that we call light bulbs seem to be on fire but never burn up. I don't understand the intricacies of craftsmanship that constructed these pews, or the systems which allowed the trees they were made from to grow and to thrive and to transform sunshine and carbon dioxide into a suitable surface. I can't even comprehend the sheer size or magnitude of the sun that powered that process. I can't think that big. It's up there recklessly burning gas like there's no tomorrow, and yet it will last for how many millions of years? So I think a key to careful, critical thinking in the church, which is a place where we like to think about really big things, is epistemological humility, admission of ignorance, and openness to learning. Even the best thinkers throughout history have always fallen short of complete understanding of the big questions. A life of faith is a life that remains open to questions, to doubts. If there is no struggle, there is no faith, only dogmatism. We as Christians, we deal in shadows and metaphors and traditions. We reach after the truth, but we never really own it. Now, this all leaves aside the issue that Thomas was addressing. Thomas initially rejected the report of the other disciples because it just didn't make sense to him in his solitude. And yet, Thomas remained present with the disciples until he too had a personal encounter with Jesus. It is in community that we encounter Jesus. It is in community that blind faith becomes illuminated and begins to make sense. I heard a story about this idea from a Lutheran pastor named Nadia Boltz-Weber. Now, Nadia and I grew up in the same fundamentalist church tradition, so she holds a special place in my heart. Nadia tells a story about a parishioner who approached her one day looking ashamed, and he confessed to her, hesitatingly, "I can't say the creed because I'm not sure that I believe every line in the creed." Nadia immediately responded to him, "Oh my God, nobody believes everything in the creed." But in a room full of people, for each line of the creed, there's somebody here who believes it. And so we're covered, right? Nadia reminded her friend that it wasn't his creed that we were talking about. It was the church's creed, and the church together can hold on to it. Now, I can't hold the entire reality of the presence of Jesus, and I'm guessing you can't hold the entire reality of the presence of Jesus. And so where then will we discover the reality of the presence of Jesus? Where is it that the Holy Spirit does her work? It is in the space between us. When we gather as community, we each hold the bits and the pieces, like the different lines of a creed. And as we bring those bits and pieces together, what emerges for each one of us is a clearer view of reality than any of us could ever achieve on our own. It is in the sharing of wisdom and experience that we find that we have, after all, had a genuine experience, a genuine encounter with Jesus. At least enough of one to help us believe for a minute or two, or maybe an hour, maybe even a whole week. And then next week, we'll come back here and we'll do it again. Because as iron sharpens iron, we are being molded and shaped by the presence of Jesus among us, in between us. We very literally practice faith. It is in this way that blind faith becomes illuminated and healthy skepticism satisfied. Like blind men feeling the different parts of the elephant, we hold up one another in our shared faith as God approaches each of us in a uniquely appropriate way. Our individual understandings are never complete. We can never achieve a complete grasp of the truth about God and the world, or even our own pews. But as we grow into faith, we find that the truth grasps us. The truth owns us. It interrogates us. It changes us. If you have doubts, questions about the Christian faith, then you belong right here with us. I have questions and doubts as well. And so together with Thomas, we seek a genuine encounter with the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Because as I look around me, and as I consider those who have gone before me, I get a pretty strong hunch that in that direction, in the direction of the encounter that Thomas experienced, an encounter with Jesus Christ, there we will find life.